Good morning, brethren. Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Revelation. I'll be reading from chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Revelation 4, 1 through 11. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes in the front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was, and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So nice to see so many here today. So grateful to be together. So nice to see my family. And when I say my family, I do not just mean my family. My family pretty much all still fits me about the same as you. Changed a little bit up over the years. But when I say family, I mean my family, my first family. And you all are that. And I feel so blessed to be back here. I must apologize to all Bible class teachers. I took you a couple minutes over this morning, and I apologize to you, even though it was Jeff Jordan's fault. I was told, I grew up here, and so I should have remembered. At Bridgeport, someone else just shuts me up. They ring the bell, and I know I stopped. But no, I am glad to be here. So excited for this week, and looking forward to being able to open God's Word with you throughout this week. Thankful to Brother Jeff, the kind words he had to say, and I will do my best to live up to those words. There weren't too many times that I look back on life and have any happier memories than with you all and just our time together here. There were times that I did have to get rid of and have to get up and start that. There were many times. I was telling Rosie this morning, I mentioned Rosie a lot. Rosie was somebody who, of course, taught me, it seemed like, for many years. And, you know, she was a great teacher in the way she taught us, but she was also strict. I remember there been a couple occasions that I was sent out of Bible class. RJ's back there laughing. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing. That's a walk of shame. Because when you walk out of that classroom and you get sent to the adult class, everybody knows that wasn't what you were doing. But there was a reason why. But I appreciate just all the Bible class teachers. I look back at the times we had. Great memory. Great memory. Revelation chapter 4 is where we're going to be at today. Mark the Bible. Put your marker there. Keep it there. Suggestions are things that we're building everything around this morning. Our title for our lesson this morning is Before the Throne. Before the Throne of God. A lot of times we talk about coming before the throne of God when we worship God. And we should. It's important. We live in a time, and there is a problem, I believe, today that a lot of times we don't think much of. We tend to be people who just get caught in heck. And we do things a certain way, and we do things on a certain day, and we do it week after week after week. And we have a problem right now that there's a lot of people who have the church-going mentality. We have a church-going habit, we might say. And what I mean by that, we all say it. I say it, my kids say it, my kids will come up to me, and you know, it'll be a Wednesday evening, and they'll say, Dad, do we have church tonight? And we throw that term around so loosely. Sunday morning comes, we have church this morning. And I understand what we are saying. And we all understand what we're meaning when we use that. But folks, our lesson this morning is one of importance. Because I believe our mindset and our mentality will change when we start realizing there's more than just going to church, and that is worshiping God. That's why we are here this morning. The whole purpose for our being here is to worship God in spirit and in truth because we love Him so much. In Revelation chapter 4, we have the throne room scene. And as we start to consider this throne room scene this morning, I'm going to make some points about it that I hope that you will start to consider and realize that, yes, it is important as we read Revelation chapter 4 and the images that we gather in our minds. But I want us to realize something right now. And that is God is in our presence this morning. God is here right now. I appreciate it so much to see you. To hear you all singing praises to God as Uncle Jeff led us in that singing. What a blessing to be a part of that. You know, a lot of times we forget how great God is. We forget how wonderful He has been to us. In Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3, the psalmist said, Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Folks, He is a great God. We serve an amazing God that has blessed us so much in our lives, more than most of us ever thought we would be. The Bible pictures God sitting in His throne of majesty in His greatness on high. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Daniel said, I walked till the thrones were put in place, and the ancient days were seated. His garment was white as snow, his head was like tumult. His throne was a fiery flame, his wheels were burning fire. When we read the book of Revelation, so much of it we read, and we'll say, well, that is secretive. Yes, of course, much of Revelation, they are using words for our understanding, but we can also still imagine the setting that takes place. I believe what Revelation oftentimes does is it allows us to look ahead to realize the beauty, the magnificence of what's in store for us. When we talk about heaven and we talk about the book of Revelation. What is it that makes heaven so wonderful? Is it what Revelation 21 verse 4 says? In Revelation 21 verse 4, there'll be no more tears and no more crying and no more death and no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Is that what's going to make heaven so great when all of us are there one day? I don't believe that's what's going to make heaven great. What's going to make heaven great when we are there one day is that God is there. That's what makes heaven great. Is that in that moment you will be with God, the one that you have worshipped for your lifetime, the one that you have prayed to, the one that you have talked to time and time again, the one that has been there for you day in and day out, in the good times and the bad times. And finally, there will come a moment in your life when you're able to be with God. I can't wait for that day, church. I look forward to that day. Amen. In Revelation chapter 4, God is sitting on His throne. I want us this morning to open our eyes spiritually. And I want us to see the throne of God as pictured in Revelation 4. I want us to imagine, if we could, those steps we know to that throne. What would it be like? As we saw those golden gates open, and what would our eyes see in that moment if we were able to see what John saw as he was in the Spirit in Revelation chapter 4? What would that moment be like for us as we saw God surrounded by the cherubim and the 24 elders that were surrounding Him? What would we feel in that moment? And what would you see? What transpires as we come before God's throne? The first thing we would notice if we were to come before the throne of God would be that beauty is divine. You know, we see things that are around us that are beautiful in all different forms. We will see art that is beautiful. We will see people that are beautiful. We will see food at times that is just beautiful. There is a deeper beauty, and that is one that lives a morally pure, spiritual life of the kind of beauty. A lot of times we don't think about that as being beautiful. But the beauty of God will surpass all beauty that we have ever seen. It will surpass anything that we have seen made by man's hand. It will surpass the beautiful creation that God has made and given to us. I know all of you who are driving out this morning, were you looking at the trees? Huh? You can raise your hand. It's okay. Anybody else? All right, okay. Three people looked at the trees. Thank you. We saw the beauty of God. You were saying, look how beautiful this is. And yet, when we are in God's presence, that'll be the most beauty we have ever seen in our life. You see, God's beauty surpasses all, even the purest of life. Go to Psalm 27, verse 4 with me this morning, please. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. You know, no doubt David, when he wrote this psalm, we know that David desired to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. No doubt about that. But you see, David loved God so much that that's who he wanted to be. That's where he wanted to be. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible tells us, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in an appearance of like and Imbolus. Those two stones that are mentioned, that jasper and sardis stones, are deeply red in color. And that emerald that is mentioned is deep green. When we think of God, we think of one whose beauty is bright and bright. You know, I look forward to coming back to you because I had not seen you all in such a long time. It's been 4 years the last time I held a gospel meeting here. I came back, I believe, and did a vacation Bible school in the youth rally last year. I believe that's the last time God has preached here. And so, for some of you, I've not seen you in 3 or 4 years. For others, I've not seen you in a year. And yet, I look forward to getting to see you again. And getting to talk. And getting to hear. What will it be like when we get to see the beauty of God? There are certain things that I don't know that we can begin to fathom or wrap our minds around. The dictionary defines beauty as the quality present in a thing or a person that gives intense pleasure or deep satisfaction to the mind. God is the one who gives us intense spiritual pleasure and deep satisfaction of the mind. But in that throne room, you will also see God being exalted. You know, the word exalted means raised, elevated, lifted up. We think of a king sitting on a throne as being exalted, right? He's high. He's lifted up. We exalt people all the time. Some are worthy of being exalted, some are not. But God deserves more exaltation than anyone that we could possibly think of or imagine. God is a king sitting on his throne in heaven. Psalm 57 verse 5 says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth." And then we read in Isaiah 25:1, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and I will praise your name." Is that our attitude? Oftentimes when we have come before God, are we approaching Him? Are we exalting Him? And are we praising Him and lifting Him up the way He deserves to be? That's an individual matter. That's something you have to think about. Or when you're singing, you know, God doesn't care if you are the greatest singer. God just says, "I want to hear you sing." God wants us here in a little bit. We are partaking of that Lord's Supper. Are we going to exalt Him and His Son as we think about what they did for us? Look at Revelation 4:4-6. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. You see, when we picture all of this, that sea of glass surrounding the throne, and those 24 elders on their chairs surrounding the throne, and the beasts were full of eyes surrounding that throne, all are doing the same thing. They're exalting God. But holiness will be honored in the throne. Holiness is not honored here. In our world, holiness is looked down upon. Nothing is sacred. The speech that we see is corrupt and filthy. Sexual morals are pretty much gone. Personal entertainment. Much of what we watch on TV, or much of what we hear on the radio, or what we see online, is usually trash, if we are being honest. Most of it is not that which is appropriate or holy in any way. We live in different times. In Psalm 14, verse 1, we always quote the first part of that verse. We all know it well. The whole seventh part, there is no God. The second part of that verse is important, though, because if they are corrupt, they have done abominable work, and there is none who does good. Holiness is not honored. If we strive to live a holy life now, oftentimes that's why young people are so afraid to serve God faithfully. We talk about the pressures of the world. It's because holiness is not honored. It's because when they try to live that holy life, they know they're going to be made fun of. They know they're going to be the outcast. And here's the problem. As a young person, you don't want to be different. No young person has to say, yeah, I want to be that person that's different than everybody else. I want to be that person that stands out and is not part of the in crowd. And yet that's what God says for all of us. But here's the dilemma. How can we tell our young people to do it if we as adults are not going to do it? How can I tell teenagers, you be holy, you be different, you don't follow the crowd, and when they look around, they see the adults in the church out following the crowd? You see, the whole idea of being holy, the word holiness means set apart. And I believe that most of you here aren't set apart. You're set apart from that world. You're doing right now what most of the world's not doing. Most of the world looks at Sunday as a day off. Today, I love when you turn on the TV. You know what you're going to see on the TV? You're going to see this pilot. If you watch any TV today, you're going to see it's football day in America. No, it's not. It's the Lord's day. Yes, you are holy people. And why are you to be holy? Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 says, he who called you is holy, you ought to be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. It's so hard at times to be set apart. It's hard at times to do the right thing. At times we think, well, I'm going to be lost in the crowd if I do not. But it will pay off. Several months back, I had a baseball coach come, and he called one day and he said, I'd like you to start to plan our team. A travel baseball team. And I said, well, I appreciate that. I said, but I told everybody no. He said, you mind me saying why you told everybody no? I said, because we don't play baseball on Sunday. I said, if you want to play between 12 and 4, he can play then, but if you got a game at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, we're not going to do it. And if you play a championship game at 7 o'clock, well, we can't be there. So I said, if you can live with that, we're good. If you can play for your team. They said, it's not a problem at all. Okay. So we go, we're playing, and he started, and he was definitely one of the more skilled players. And we played in a game on Saturday, played two games Saturday, and here comes Sunday morning. And I told the folks, I'll go to the game tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, well, go win it. We won't be there. Well, if we win, they said, we're going to play again at 1 o'clock. Can you make it in? Yeah, we'll be there at 1. Okay. And so that morning, after services, I called. They said, we won. Can you come over here? We'll play in the championship at 1 o'clock. And I said, we'll be there. We'll take whatever the ball field and we'll get there. And they said, well, we don't think you should start because you're in the church this morning. I did not handle myself correctly that day. In fact, I even had to repent. I did. I truly had to get up and repent in front of the whole church that night. And I had to say to my boy, that's just the way it is. It's okay. Your baseball career is not going to make or break by not playing in this championship game today. But you know what? It was hard for him because what 10-year-old wants to be the one kid that says, you're not going to play because we're going to punish you because you went to church this morning instead of playing baseball. That's tough on dad, mom, son. You see, See, when you're holy, when you strive to live a holy life, even though we fail so many times, there are going to be those moments that are tough on Christian life. In heaven, holiness will be honored. In heaven, because you were set apart, because you strive to do God's will, God is going to bless you. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, the four living creatures, each having six wings, are full of eyes around them within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. When we read this, we see holy, holy, holy in verse 8. The original Greek there actually is three sets of holy. And they are shouting out day and night. They do not rest, continually proclaiming that God is holy. That's why the Bible says, you be holy because your Father in heaven is holy. But also in the great throne room, man will be humble. Humility is not to think or behave more highly than we are. But it's not to think that you're better than you are. I mentioned sports. One of the things I love about sports is this. Sports humble you. Sports teach you humility because when you think you're really good, you eventually play against somebody that, you know what, you realize he's a lot better than I. And that happens. If it hasn't happened, it's going to happen. You know, Paul said in Romans, go to Romans 12:3. Let's read this together. Go to Romans 12:3. This is a great, great verse. For I say to the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than not to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You know what I realized shortly after I got into preaching? I remember going around from congregation to congregation. And you know, everybody, when you were starting out as a young minister, everybody wants to build you up. Everybody, you know, you get up preaching, everybody, oh, that was a great sermon. We appreciated it so much. I remember going to a congregation one day, and I, you know, was a young preacher. And I remember a woman walking out one Sunday. And whether it was Christian-like or not, I'll give you this much, she was awesome. And I said, well, she said something about the person in front of me. She said, that was a good sermon this morning. I really appreciated that. And she went and shook my hand, and I said, and I always said, I said, have a good day. And she said, I thought it was pretty boring. She said it just like that, a matter of fact. And I laughed thinking she was joking. Like, I was like, oh! And then I realized she wasn't joking. But you know what? It humbled me on her. I realized that sermon that I thought was really good, it needed some work. You see, in the throne room of heaven, man will be humble. Because of who God is, and that we are standing before God, we will be before the Creator. The psalmist was right when the psalmist said, Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or man that you are mindful of him? Have you ever stopped to consider how much God cares about you? God cares about everything you're involved in, everything you do, every word that you speak. The Creator of the universe cares that much about you. It's humbling to know that one day we will get to be with God. Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, the Bible tells us, and this particular verse is noted for what it said here. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting in the throne, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold in their hands. And what did they do with those crowns? The Bible tells us they threw them before the throne. They fall down before the throne of God. These 24 elders, clothed in white robes, they fall down before God. They cast their golden crowns before the throne, showing the magnificence, the greatness of God, and who God is. You see, in heaven, praise is lifted up all the time. Praise is the act of approving, honor, and admiring us. Is God worthy of our praise, church? Is God worthy to be exalted? Should we be humble before God? Should we strive to live holy lives before God? So oftentimes, none of these thoughts ever enter into our minds. Because we're just going to go to church. It's Sunday. That's what we do. And so we want to go to church. 1 o'clock afternoon. We'll be done for the day. And the whole thought of really what heaven must be like. What it will be like to stand before God. The humbling attitude that we must have. The praise that will be lifted up. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I've oftentimes thought about what it will be. Will it be wonderful? Absolutely. But being before God. I remember several years ago when I was working at the funeral home, a lady was standing there one day and I was standing right beside her. I believe she had lost her father and she was sitting there and she was talking about her dad. She said, I can see Dad now up in heaven. He said, he's already got that garden started and he's already working it up. Folks, I don't believe we're going to be working any gardens in heaven. I don't know about you, but working a garden is not fun. Working a garden is hard work. When you get to heaven, there's not going to be any more. In fact, the Bible says heaven is a place of rest. Amen? Praise will be lifted to God in heaven. In the presence of God, praise will just speak forth from our mouth. Psalm 148:13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted, and his glory is above earth and heaven. We sing songs. Praise him, praise him. God is certainly worthy to receive our praise. I believe also, when you get by the throne room of heaven, and that is authority will be respected. We live in a time where no one seems to respect authority anymore. It drives me crazy when I see young children who are disrespectful to their parents. I know all kids can be disrespectful at times. But there are those who seem to be disrespectful all the time. There's no place for that. The Bible tells us that if we want to be following God and obeying God, we have to be respectful to our parents. But then we come to times now where people are disrespecting the police. There's no respect for the police anymore. Now we have disrespect for the military. And when is it going to stop? I don't know that it's going to. But what we know for sure is this. In heaven, before the throne room of God, authority will be there'll be no riots in heaven. There'll be no uprising in heaven. God is the one in power. And those who get to heaven are those who throughout their life have always been respectful. Oh, you're not going to hide people who live their lives being disrespectful their whole entire life in heaven. Not going to happen. Those who are respectful and courteous and kind and have done the will of God are those that are going to be in heaven. Authority will be respected before the throne of God. There'll be no rebellion. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and exist. And then, worship will be consummated. Brings perfection is what that means. Go to Malachi chapter 1 with me, please. Malachi chapter 1. Do you enjoy worshiping God, church? I hope you do. You see, there's a lot of joy in worship. There's a lot of joy. We should be joyful in worship. I do not believe God ever intended worship to be something that you could barely make it through. I do not believe God ever intended worship to be something where you said, okay, 15 minutes in, and I'm going to be next. I had a guy tell me one time when I first started preaching, and he said, hey, for 15 minutes, you have me. After that, I'm gone. He said, so what you need to get said, you better have said in 15 minutes. Well, I'm not going to go forever, but I need more than 15 minutes. In Matthew chapter 1, Malachi chapter 1, we read here about worship. And it's such an interesting text because God calls them out. And you read here in verse 6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am the father, where is my honor? If I am the master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? Do you please to despise my name, yet in what way? Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? God called them out. He said, a son honors father, a servant honors his master. Where is my honor? As you worship me, what were they doing? In verse 7, you offered defiled food to my altar, but saying, what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is capable. When you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? When you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it into your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Has God ever accepted anything that was second class? Has he said, I want your second best? Or did not the Old Testament God say, you give the very best that you have? I want the one that is spotless, the very best of your flock. And that is what you offer, and that is what you worship to me. Yeah, here they are, they're bringing the sick, and the lame. God says, if it's a temple, we'll give you a governor. Says, okay. God always required the best of his people. And we're his people. Let's give God the best we have. As we worship God, let's worship Him with everything we have. Because I believe with all of my heart that if I were to be in heaven one day, and I want to be in heaven before the throne of God, and I want to worship God in heaven one day, then I better be worshiping it now. I can't think, well, I'm going to worship it when I get to heaven. It's going to be too late because I'm not going to make it. I love to come to worship. I love to sing. I love to hear prayers. I love when we commune. I said oftentimes, I wish we could come into worship. And if we want to sing 10 songs, we sing 10 songs. Now, I don't think the preacher needs to preach for an hour and a half because I don't think you can listen to that. I think there's a certain way of being respectful to the audience that you have. If you come this week, I'll be respectful of your time. I'm not going to keep you till 8:30 every night. I will be done by 8:28. I will be respectful of your time. But if we want to be in heaven, and we want to be before the throne, and we want to worship God, one day, then we better be worshiping Him now the way that He wants us to, and give Him the very best that we have in every area of worship. Go to Revelation 22, verse 9, as we finish up this morning. Then He said to me, see that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Folks, that's what we're here. That's what brought us together this morning. It was for worship. It was to praise God in song, and to pray to Him, to give to Him.
to commune, to open up his book and to read from it. You see, when you come before God, you will see beauty as you've never seen. You will see God being exalted. You will see holiness, honor. Man will be humbled. Praise will be lifted. Authority will be respected. And worship will be possible. We covered a lot of ground this morning, I know. I went very quickly through it. But what I hope you realize is this. Is the seriousness and the importance of why we come together and where we're going one day. If we don't understand it now, we're not going to get to enjoy it in time. Now is the time we have to grow closer together. Now is the time we have to worship God. Now is the time we have to be His friends. But if you are here this morning and you are not a child of God, if you have never repented of your sins, confessed Jesus as the Son of God before men, or been baptized, having your sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb, if you have not done those things, then we encourage you to do that today. We encourage you to do that because that is what the Bible has told you you must do. That is what God has commanded for us to do. Maybe you are here and you're struggling in your Christian walk and you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, or you have fallen away and you need to come back. Then we hope you will. You see, I want to get to heaven. And I want my wife and my kids to get to heaven. And I want my mom and my dad and my sister and my aunt and my uncle and my cousin all be in heaven. And I want all of you in heaven. Wouldn't it be great one day to get to go to heaven, to be before the throne of God? And all of us together. Not one person left out. Everybody in this room, in heaven, together for eternity. What a day that would be. If you're here and you need to respond to the invitation to obey the gospel of Christ, or need prayer, will you please come right now as we stand in our feet.